Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hey, 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 welcome to Dates and Mates. We are live again at the lovely Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood here on UBN Radio. It's a new day. We have a new format, and we're also thrilled to welcome our new listeners from iHeartRadio who just started to carry the podcast this week. Woohoo!
Ooh, right. I was going to do the applause, but our applause is like way too long in this queue.
If only we had hands to clap.
If only we had hands. Oh, wait.
That was ghetto applause. Ghetto hyphen applause. Listen, Producer Jay, the over 50 set is the fastest growing group of online daters. And that comes with a whole new set of challenges with technology and communication. You know how it is in the modern world. And there's a lot to overcome when you're a new dater and you're over 40, over 50, or over 60. So that is what we're going to talk about today, baby boomers and dating technology. And even if you're not in the baby boomer set, I'm sure that new tech has had you frustrated from time to time. So we're going to break it all down for you today to tackle the topic of technology and dating. I have a special guest co-host with me. You'll remember him as a guest just a few short weeks ago when we were talking about texting and dating. And now he's going to be talking about technically dating. Please give big smooches to the CEO of the Textpert app, Ray Christian.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Welcome back.
Can't wait to get started.
We had so much fun before, and I know you have some questions that come in from daters on the Textpert app, and not just baby boomers, but guys and gals of all ages. So we're going to tackle their texting and dating traumas. Or challenges, or I don't want to make it like super dramatic. No, it's traumas.
The traumas of dating.
It's very serious. So you brought a couple questions for us to answer at the end of the show today, right?
So we get like hundreds upon hundreds of requests each week. And the cool thing is the crowd kind of curates it because you can see how many responses any given request gets. And so we've picked the juiciest nuggets and we kind of brought them here today for the listeners.
We love that juice, don't we?
We love that juice.
But you know how I like to start the show off. Always, we got to do the dish.
D's dating dish.
Ray Christian, Producer Jay, is virtual reality the future of online dating?
Ooh.
Some people say it is. We talked a little bit about this before, but there was a new article that just hit about this. Talking about how virtual reality dating might work. There are some dating sites that predict that in the next 10 years, the majority of first dates will happen with virtual reality. And so it opens up the possibility of daters to be able to meet people across the world and actually have what seems like a face-to-face date. Or you could take your date somewhere really exotic. Like, you don't even have to spend a lot of money. You can just say, hey, honey, do you want to go to Paris? I meant
right.
Google. What is it? Google.
Google Earth or something like that?
No. What's the... There's like the Google virtual reality glasses.
Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but
I forgot.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
But you could just take them to Paris or Venice or somewhere romantic. And now couples can actually have their first date. I hear all the time people don't want to do that first date, that it's like sort of awkward and what a commitment to drive all the way across town to have to sit and have coffee with someone. You don't have to do that now. Pretty soon you'll be able to do it in virtual reality.
Crazy.
Would you do a virtual reality date?
100%. I try to call any girl that I go on a date with, preferably FaceTime. And virtual reality is cool because you can see how they move. You can see how their body language interacts with yours, and you can kind of judge them on their eye movements and how they sit and stand.
Wait, I have to stop.
I'm a big fan of this idea.
I have to stop you because you said you currently FaceTime a date before you've met for the first time?
So I'll try to. That's the perfect world. If I've met her on a dating app or I haven't seen her in person, I don't know how she carries herself, all we've done is text, I'll try to FaceTime. Because then it's like, A, any girl or any guy that picks up a FaceTime unannounced, they've got some swag. Because they've got the ability to like, you know what, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to speak extemporaneously on this call or the FaceTime. And it's a sign of some confidence. And you get to interact. and you get a little teaser.
You better not FaceTime me. He tried to the other day. He was like, let's have a meeting on FaceTime. I was like, honey, I just came from the gym. We're not going to do that.
It's like, we don't do that while Damona's still in her Disney pajamas.
I mean, we can, but it's just going to change. It's just going to change the track of our relationship, you know? Jimmy's seen me.
I've seen the Disney pajamas.
Yeah. Everyone eventually will see the Disney pajamas. But we're just not there yet. We're just not there yet, right? So I would say, see, the challenge is you're never going to get prepared for a virtual reality FaceTime date or meet cute like you would for a real date. And so that's your first impression of them. Like, and let's say the girl picks up the FaceTime call and she's like coming from the gym and looking hella crazy, and then you're gonna go, oh, I don't know that I want to go out with her anymore, right?
That kind of turns me on, and maybe that I'm weird, but I like it when they have the confidence to pick up the phone even if they don't have makeup on, because they're just relying on their engaging, witty personality, and sometimes that's enough. And that confidence of them being able to pick up the phone and just rely on who they are, not how good they look.
You are really
evolved.
Especially
in LA. I was just gonna say the same thing, Producer Jay. I'm like, wow, that's an evolved man, because a lot of guys are so visual, and Producer Jay's
not there yet. Well, I mean, yeah, like if we in a relationship, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, be confident, and you know, you trust me now. But if you can't do it when we first meeting,
especially if I was wearing the Disney pajamas, that'd be grown woman.
You know,
in Disney pajamas.
Because
that'd be
for
really
me, it's
scary.
Just kind of like you just don't care. You didn't try for real. Like, yeah. You know, like, or like, I'm not enough to make you want to, like, you know, let me try to impress him just a little bit. I mean, like that, I feel like a little bit of effort, because I'm gonna go through some effort. I'm not coming in looking any kind of way.
So you're saying, how dare you not put makeup on for this FaceTime?
Well,
call?
I didn't necessarily say makeup, because some people don't really need it. But if you don't pull yourself together a bit, that's a different story.
Well, at least it's just virtual reality, and it's not like smell-o-vision if I've come from the gym. There are some things you just won't know.
Right.
You just won't know.
But don't you feel tainted by the city a little bit as a guy? Because in LA, the women here are almost always attractive, stereotypically, obviously, versus other cities. But they're not always the sharpest tools in the shed. And so compared to other cities.
I feel like this is a myth that we're perpetuating, because people always say, oh, everybody's beautiful in LA and nobody has any brains. And I would say that the women that I know in LA have a lot of brains, and, you know, sometimes that's their best quality.
I agree. Yeah, no. I agree. But you think even more so than the same as other cities?
I just think there's a lot of us here. Like, it's such a big city. And then you've got the people that are on the polar, you know, like extremes, the ones that are most vocal, the ones that are always on television. Like, it's a concentration, you know, of that. So I think that
there's a good point.
You know, spattering of it.
There's a lot
people.
Of LA. You got to go into some
there's
different
a whole
areas.
Lot of LA.
You'll
you get,
see some
you
different
get
things.
You get out of the five, you get real, real.
You get real. Real. Hey, speaking of things getting real, I always have to talk about some celebrity love, and there's some rumors going around about Drake and Rihanna. Dun dun dun.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you know popular songs.
I know.
Because I'm learning them from my 5-year-old now. She comes home from school singing them, and I'm like, oh, what is that song? I gotta get that jam.
Right.
That just dropped.
Just took a left.
No, I kind of still am. I'm still a little bit cool, Producer Jay, a little bit.
Fair enough.
But there have been rumors for a while that they've been secretly dating, and they were on Saturday Night Live this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Drake hosted.
Was on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think of that potential match? We did talk about celebrity relationships recently, and whether two luminaries in their fields can be together, or whether there's too much competition between them. Do you think it could work between Drake and Rihanna?
I think it could. I'm curious to get your opinion on, do celebrities play by different rules? Because you would assume that Drake and Chris Brown, probably somewhat friends, they've done many songs together. Does that make it weird? It's like dating your buddy's ex? Or is it a completely different set of rules for them?
Well, in that one beat the other one to, you know, to a pope. So I think the respect for that, clearly he didn't even respect his own relationship. So I don't necessarily think that any of his friends should feel that, you know, particular situation, in my opinion. Because it's just kind of like he broke that with the fighting. So I don't think
there's any code. You know,
for that one, I kind of think it is like just
for him to not date her.
Well, no, not
that. I'm saying like, look, that was a while ago and they were but kids back then. And now like maybe Rihanna's looking for a serious relationship. I know she got her own house. She got her own car and everything. Yeah. So she doesn't need someone like Drake, but it certainly boosts celebrity profiles when they end up dating one another. So maybe it's just a good business decision.
So you think there's like a statute of limitations? If your friend has broken up with his ex after a certain amount of time, you could potentially pursue that ex, even if they are the ex of your good friend? If it's been five years?
I don't think there's a specific amount of time, but I think enough time has passed where certainly I think Rihanna is fair game.
I always think it's the size of the pool, of the dating pool, because I went to a very small private school and like my graduating class was like 25 people. We would have never been able to date anybody if we weren't dating our friends. You know, like our friends.
Here's the thing. In Hollywood, like you would think you look at someone like Rihanna and say, oh, she has all of the dating options in the world.
Right,
but actually,
really doesn't.
She doesn't. She has a very limited number of options because she has to make sure that somebody is with her for her and not trying to access her profile,
right,
or her,
exactly,
you know, her celebrity to better, or her money to better themselves.
Is that the trap, basically? When you're a celebrity, you feel like you can only date other celebrities because they're the only ones you can really trust as liking you for you?
Well, they work all of the time. So the only people they tend to meet are the people that work with them or are friends of, you know, their agent or someone who works with them. Because that's why we also see a lot of agents or friends of agents with stars. Because there's just a finite number of people. They can't go on a dating. Rihanna can't be on a dating app.
Yeah.
She can't just go out to the bar and be like, you know, hey, honey, let me check you out. Like, it's actually easier for the average person to meet a match than it is for Rihanna. I don't know. But as we're talking about time and how much time is appropriate to pass, there was a new article that came out in The Sun, in the UK paper, The Sun, about the appropriate length of time that you should wait before you marry a partner. Mm. All right, producer Jay and Ray, what do you think is the appropriate length of time to wait to get married? Ray.
I would say every situation is a little bit different, but if there is a template you want to guide towards, it's probably don't move in with somebody sooner than 1 year and don't marry them until that 2 year mark. I kind of agree with that because like around a year and a half is when you really start to figure out that person. You've heard every single story that person has to say. And you know their cadence. You've seen them in so many different types of situations. So I agree. I think
you think it's
preferably
2 years,
don't get
as
engaged.
This article said.
Yeah. Well, I would say engaged at 2 years.
I think that works if you're like under 30, maybe under 35. But sometimes if you're over 35 and you have the biological clock ticking, you ain't got that kind of time. What do you think, producer?
Well, I'm from a completely different space, like, you know, with that, because one, I don't really come from a culture that cohabitates before marriage either. And like, I know it was a different time, like my parents between the time of like, for they met and got married, it was 6 months. So, you know, and they're still together. So, it's
still together.
What I also think is it's kind of indicative of where we are as like culturally, like, because the more you know of yourself, the easier it is for you to communicate yourself to another person and like, and you can identify certain things. But if the two of you are still kind of figuring your own selves out and you haven't really kind of come into your own, I can see that it can take a lot longer. So I think it really depends on like the self-awareness and the maturity of each individual. So I wouldn't necessarily put a specific time on it.
But I do believe, as Dr. Helen Fisher, who's quoted in this article, talks about having slow love and that real connection develops over time. And so I believe, and I'm glad that your parents are an exception to that rule, but
it's not as much of an exception as we might think. I think that we hear the big stories, but I know a ton of people.
I think in today's world it is.
Well,
I think maybe previous generations, because you were meeting people within your social circle. But now that we're more fragmented and our communities are we're spread out from our community, I think now it's more important to make sure that you've gotten to know that person, because when you're in the same community, you already have the backstory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a fan of wait. I wouldn't put a time clock on it, but I'm a fan of just slowing down the interaction, like not rushing into having to hit certain milestones, because I think that puts a lot of pressure on the relationship. But you have to have that conversation before you move in together, that it's headed in the same direction, and so that you know it's not just a moving in out of convenience.
And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head about the age part for another reason. When I was 23, I was kind of a dum-dum, and it took me a while to figure out if a girl really was a good fit for me. At 33, I'm much faster at figuring out, is this person a good fit for me? Mm-hmm. So like you said, over 30, not only is the biological clock there, but you're just better at identifying this is a good fit for me or this isn't.
You know yourself much faster. Better. You know yourself better. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Remember, if you like Dates and Mates, why not tell some other people? Share about it. Leave a review, perhaps. Give us some stars on iTunes and Spreaker and TuneIn and Stitcher, and help other people find the show. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Bobby Palmer about baby boomers and dating technology. Stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and we'll be right back.
I'm Damona Hoffman, and I've been coaching singles on how to find love for over 10 years. Relationships, whether they start in a bar, on a dating site, or through friends, have developed much in the same way since I started in the love business. But one thing in particular has forever altered the way we communicate in relationships. Texting. With the rise of texting, I've seen many relationships made and many more relationships broken because we're communicating in a totally new way. If you're confused about what to say and how to say it over text, you need to watch my free training, The Texting Trap, Why Your Messages Made Your Date Disappear, at thetextingtrap.com. Don't spend another weekend wondering whether you'll hear from them ever again. See how to escape the texting trap once and for all. Know how to say just the right thing to your date to make them want more. This video training is free for Dates and Mates listeners at thetextingtrap.com.
And I'm joined in studio with my guest co-host, Ray Christian. And before the break, I promised I'm going to shed some light on dating technology for not just baby boomers, but really for everybody. But I find that with online dating growing in the over 50 set, it's brought up a whole bunch of new challenges in dating that didn't exist even 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I've brought to you the leader in dating for singles over 40. She is the founder of Date Like a Grown-Up, and she is a dating and relationship coach who guides smart, independent women to intimacy, passion, and partnership as they find a grown-up relationship. After becoming a first-time bride at the age of 47, she got into this work, and she really walks her walk, talks her talk, and she's here to give some insights on baby boomers and dating technology. Please give big smooches to Bobby Palmer.
Ooh, smooch right back to you. Hey, Damona.
Thank you. I love your smooches. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. We talked about dating like a grown-up before, but we didn't really do a deep dive in dating technology. And I just hear a lot of times for daters over 40, over 50, over 60, that now there's all of this new technology they have to deal with, texting and dating, online dating, and it's really confusing for folks. And you work with daters over 40 every day at Date Like a Grown-Up. So can you tell us what some of the biggest challenges for baby boomers who are online dating are?
Sure. Well, first of all, we can start with the idea, the concept that even caller ID freaks some of these women out. So I work with women. So I know that's kind of, you know, that's just part of our everyday life. But imagine a lot of these women have been married 20, 30 years. So they haven't dated for a really long time. So when you think about technology, to them, technology is the fact that when they call somebody, they can see their phone number. So technology is really a big challenge.
And that freaks them out because then now that guy has their number.
That's right. Right. So they don't feel safe. A lot of my clients, a lot of the women I coach, they use like Google Voice to mask their telephone number. So just when you think of that as the jumping off point, you can imagine what, you know, swipe right, swipe left, you know, all this crazy stuff. That it can really freak them out.
Well, producer Jay, he also has a Google Voice number to mask his number from me. He's like, I can't.
As you should probably.
It's happened.
No, but that's, I think, smart advice for any dater, because overall, I think online dating is totally safe. But
I agree.
I mean, it's certainly safer than going home with random guys that you meet in bars, I think. But there are tools that you can use, like Google Voice and others that protect your specific contact information, because, okay, let's say the guy does have your phone number. There are ways that he can find out more information about you. Like, let's say you do that first call that Ray was talking about in the first segment, and you don't like him so much, but there are ways he can, like, show up on your doorstep. He can figure things out. If, say, you don't want to go out with him and he gets mad, right? Using technology.
That's right. And I do have to say, I totally agree with you. Online dating is relatively very, very safe. I did it for, I don't know, 7 years on and off before I met my husband, who, by the way, we met married within 6 months.
Yeah.
But
you were over 40. You were over 40, too.
That's right. I was 47.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 56. So so I know you had that conversation earlier, but I wanted that one on the record.
I'm glad it's working out.
Well, yeah, 10 years. It'll be 10 years soon. But with older people, I think Jay had a really good point. You know, oh, look, who came to visit. the technology, in terms of being older, the more you know yourself, the more you can articulate who you are, the more, you know, you sort of know what you want and definitely know what you don't want. That really helps, I think, as you get older, as you get to know people and make judgments about who you want to spend time with and who you eventually want to spend your life with.
We are blowing Ray's mind right now.
Well, it's so easy to just block people when you have their phone number if they bother you. I've never heard of being able to take someone's phone number and turn it into their address and then stalk them.
Yeah. Okay, is that ready? A thing? Are you ready,
Ray? Yeah, reverse directory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you can actually, like, if you Google your own number, your address might come up.
Yeah,
so,
depending on what, you know, I think how you set your phone number up so many years ago.
There was this thing once upon a time, Ray, I'm sure you've probably never actually seen one, but there's something called the phone book. I swear, I haven't owned a phone book in like 10 years.
What?
But it used to have these white pages, and it would have your name and your address and your phone number. And so it's funny to me that now people are so concerned with security, when you used to list all of your information of how someone could find you right there in the white pages. I mean, I guess it didn't have your picture.
Well, you couldn't GPS your white pages either.
A map.
There were things called maps.
Yeah.
But map, the thing is it still took much more effort as opposed to someone, you know, satellite wise, like guiding you turn by turn to the person's house. That's a completely different story.
Yeah. Now, whether people actually show up, I think I don't want to scare anybody away from using online dating, because these stories, we hear them because they are so unusual. And the majority of online dates are actually extremely uneventful, I would say, right?
Yeah.
But what about with texting and dating? Because I used to say, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but we have new listeners from iHeart, so they're not sick of
tell
me
them
yet.
They don't know yet.
They don't know yet. That I used to say with texting and dating, just don't do it. It's just not a good mode of communication for dating. But I can't ignore that anymore. It's now part of our communication culture. And even for daters over 50, I have a lot of women that I work with that are re-entering the dating scene after being married for many years. And they're like, what is happening with this texting and dating business? Do you have any rules that you tell women at Date Like a Grown-Up about texting and dating? And we do have a textpert in the house too. So
I know I'm can't wait to hear what he has to say. My rule is number one, texting is not dating. So texting should be used not to get to know someone, but for logistics. I'm going to be 5 minutes late, you know, sorry. Or where was that place again? Or, you know, maybe a little looking forward to seeing you later. But in terms of texting back and forth and sharing what you're doing with your day, or, you know, like, you know, how your kid did at his softball game, or, you know, it's just not a good way to get to know someone. It creates all kinds of illusions and false expectations. And so I tell people, unless you've gone out a couple times, texting is not a communication tool.
You know, I also see, like, with women, I caution women against being in a chasing position with a guy. And I'm all for women making the first move and taking initiative, but it becomes very unattractive when a woman starts to go, hey, what's going on? What's the status of the relationship? And I find a lot of times with older daters, they are using texting is that kind of low pressure way to pressure. And nothing is more unattractive than asking someone to define the relationship over text. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
That happens though a lot. Well, doesn't it happen, Ray?
It does. People want to get information. They want to figure out what are we doing over text, and that's just the last place you want to be doing that kind of conversation. At the very least, it's got to be over the phone, preferably in person.
So what do you recommend, Bobby, when a woman that you're coaching comes to you and she's like, I don't know the status of the relationship. We seem to get along very well over text, but they're not progressing. The relationship's not progressing forward, and they're stuck in what I call the texting trap.
Yeah. So what I would say is you're not in a relationship. If you're just texting, you're not in a relationship. You're not, you know, I want to know, how often are you seeing one another? How much time have you spent together face to face? How much physical connection have you had? So I get that too. I get that a lot. These women that we've been texting for, you know, for a week now, and it's so amazing. And he shared this with me and that with me. And he really, we can't wait to meet each other. And I just say, you haven't even met each other. So, and she's hanging her hat on this relationship. Mm-hmm. So what I say is, number one, again, texting isn't dating, and it's certainly not a relationship. And number two is, when a guy does want to keep texting, there's a really specific way that I recommend that women say thanks but no thanks.
So how do you say, I mean, if you just say thanks but no thanks, he'll be like, delete. But how can you say it where you're weeding out the men from the boys? Like, literally tell us what goes in that text.
That's exactly what we're doing, is weeding them out. We're saying, hey, Ray, I'm really enjoying getting to know you. It'd be great to hear your voice. Phone calls seem to be a great way to get to know one another. Here's my number. I'd really love you to call me.
I can't wait to hear from you.
And a lot of guys, I know he's taken. Laughing. A lot of guys will bail. They'll just go.
And then
that's okay. But if a 60-year-old man, now we're talking about boomers now, if a 50-60-year-old man is actually looking for a relationship and looking to get to know a woman, then he will appreciate it. So 50% of the time, the guy picks up the phone and calls, and 50% of the time, he disappears, which I think is exactly what should happen.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. If they can't pick up the phone, get them out. Bobby, I have a question for you. I'm kind of biased because I see how the younger generation's interacting, even as they are on dates 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're texting in between and throughout. And they're also sending like flirty texts and maybe nudes or provocative pictures. Should this demographic that you specialize with, should they do the same thing? Should they mimic what the younger kids are doing, assuming they are going on 2 or 3, 4 dates?
No, I don't think so. I haven't worked with any women over 8 years, hundreds of women who are looking just to get laid. And, I mean, they're out there. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of 65-year-old women that just want to go out and have sex. But for any woman, you know, who's really interested in a relationship, maybe after you've been together the first time, that's great. That's sexy. That's fun. That's, you know, flirty. It kind of keeps things, you know, provocative and interesting. But if you haven't been intimate yet, it's not a way to spice up dating, I don't think. And I've never known a woman that would wanted to do that. It's very, it scares me, right, about the younger generation doing that all the time. What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely aggressive, and it's amazing how these young kids have become numb to the concept of privacy and their own body. And they definitely send these flirty, provocative pictures way sooner than I would. And I don't have kids, but I've had little sisters, and way sooner than I would like to see. But I think if you're in a relationship or you're dating and you have been intimate, I think, and if you trust that person, I think do what feels right.
I'm just not a fan of sexting, and especially of sending pictures, even if you're in a relationship, because I think people forget that technology lives forever. Even Snapchat, they were like, oh, it's just Snapchat. It's going to disappear at 24 hours. And then there was that whole case with Snapchat keeps their data. It's still there. Yeah. It's still on Snapchat servers. So even though you can't see it, it's still there. And then suddenly you're running for office 25 years from now when you figure out your life. And oh, here comes this terrible... Yeah. Text that you sent. I mean, look at just what's happening with the election right now, and like Donald Trump impersonating his publicist, which is like honestly a non-issue. I mean, who hasn't impersonated their own publicist at one point? But
your publicist keeps pestering me, Damona.
Right. Is she wearing Mickey Mouse pajamas? No. And they. You know, pull that out of the archive and they're like, look at this evidence. Can you imagine what kind of things are going to be pulling out of the Snapchat vault 25 years from now? It's horrifying.
Wait till they try to find a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because they're, but you know, the thing about the, when we're younger, I know for women, when we're younger, like our life is all about getting the guy to like us. Like we just want, you know, Jimmy to, you know, to dig us. So that's why, you know, when I was teen, I started having sex with boys. It wasn't because I wanted to have sex. It was because I wanted them to like me. And so that's what scares me about this. It's like girls' way of getting attention and thinking they're going to get liked. And they may get liked, but it's going to be like for a night, you know? I mean, this isn't, no matter how old a guy is, this isn't necessarily what starts a relationship. Is being so sexual from the very beginning.
Exactly.
So he may like you, but not for what you want.
Do you care how old the guy is? Like my girls I know, my sisters, they say they want a guy that's between 4 and 10 years older than them. Do you care if you're a woman in your 40s or 50s, if he's younger or older, if there's any kind of specific age gap?
I don't. And, you know, women want men who are, you talked about Helen Fisher, Damona, you know, this is part of her research. You know, it's nature that women want men who are taller and older because nature tells us to look for someone to protect us. And it's nature for men to want women who are younger and look like they could bear children. They don't think of it consciously, but that's kind of nature. I don't think that has a place in this day and age. So I actually have to have women fight that. I have to deprogram women to want men who are necessarily want men that are taller. Doesn't mean anything. Same thing with age. When you get into your 40s, especially, I don't think there's that, you know, there's not the, you know what you want. And if he happens to be 5 years younger, who cares?
Hey, and I almost missed a great guy. I almost missed my husband because we're the same age. And I had that same ridiculous thought that I had to date a year to 10 years older. And he almost didn't write to me because of that. So I would say the advice for today is expand your search criteria. As Bobby was saying, text for, I always say for information and not conversation. Hmm. And try online dating, right?
Absolutely. It's where I met my husband.
Work and for you. Bobby, and it can work for you, too. You can find out more about Bobby at datelikeagrownup.com. And you can also follow her on Twitter at Bobby Paul, P-A-L. It's B-O-B-B-I. I should spell that part, too. B-O-B-B-I-P-A-L. And Bobby's one of my guest speakers on the Decoding Your Modern Dating Dilemmas Summit. And you can register for free to hear Bobby and 18 other dating experts from TV, from the New York Times bestseller list, and so much more. And you can register for that for free at moderndatingsummit.com. Again, that's moderndatingsummit.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Great fun as always. Nice to meet you.
So interesting to get the insight on technology from the baby boomer set because it's a whole new thing for them. And I promised a new, some new stuff for you guys too. I promised a new format this week. So I have a third segment coming your way. Hit it, Producer Jay.
Technically Dating.
All right, Damona Hoffman fans, you know how I love to geek out about dating and technology. But, you know, if you geek out by yourself, it's kind of just sad. But if you geek out with friends, it's kind of geek chic. So I have a friend with me, Ray Christian. He is the CEO of the Techspert app. And we're going to talk about some challenges in modern dating that have come through the Techspert app. Tell us about the app and what's popping over there at Techspert.
So the Cliff Notes version is we are a platform for specifically young adults right now, are a major demographic, to get advice on all kinds of social issues, whether it's what to text back or I'm having issues with my girlfriend, boyfriend, friend. It's primarily young adults, young females between 13 and 29. But we see people of all ages coming on there to figure out, how do I handle this situation? You could go and post a screenshot of your text thread or your Tinder conversation or Bumble, or you can just post a question. How do I deal with this? And we get some pretty interesting little nuggets. And I think you guys are going to enjoy a couple. I brought a few of the curated quality nuggets here today for you.
All right. So let's, on Technically Dating, we're going to open up the Techspert vault and see what some of the top posts are from recent weeks.
Okay. So as always, these will be completely anonymous. But looking forward to get your expert opinion, Damona, and
well,
you, Jimmy.
I like your expert Techspert opinion, too. But okay, hit us with some questions.
So, okay, here's the first question. I'm 19, this is a female, and I'm dating a 40-year-old. Please hold judgment for a second, but we aren't exclusive. And when he asked if I was seeing other people, I told him the truth, that I was talking with other people, and he got really mad and then pressured me to stop seeing other people. I'm not ready for that. What do I do?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to withhold judgment, even though we were just talking about differences in age.
So you do think the difference in age matters?
Well, I mean, he's more than twice her age. Even just using, I pay a lot of attention to the words that we choose. And that's one reason why I'm getting so into texting and dating, because it can really send the relationship one direction or the other. But she said that she was talking with other people. And to me, that's a very 19-year-old way of looking at it. This guy who's in his 40s is probably looking for something a little bit more serious if he's making this time investment. And if he's being upset at her seeing other people, he clearly is looking for something that's a little bit more of a commitment. And to be so casual and cavalier about, oh, I'm talking with other people and that's not a big deal, to me is a way of thinking that hasn't evolved into a relationship mindset. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it says to me that they're just, because of their ages, they are in two different places and want two different things.
Yeah. And I think she said, don't hold off on judgment. But at the end of the day, she mentioned the ages. So it's clearly top of mind for her. It must be something that's standing out for her. And 21 years, that's a hell of a difference. And they say, actually, you shouldn't date somebody that is more than 11 years your senior or junior, because there's a generational gap. Mm-hmm. So who knows if that's actually true. I'm sure you can fall in love with someone 20 years or older or younger. But I would say, if this guy is getting weird or pushy and they're not exclusive yet, that's a big red flag. Like, that, for me, it's like, look, that should happen organically. That shouldn't be something that's forced on either party in a relationship. It should be a natural conversation of, we're getting to know each other, and, you know, I'm at a point now where I don't know if I want to date other people. How do you feel about that? And that's something more organic like that. So I would tell her, if she's not ready to date other, to stop dating other people, just tell them that and maybe stop dating them altogether.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I just kind of feel like, you know, I don't necessarily have the issue with an age gap, but I don't know too many 40-year-olds that are dating 19-year-olds that want something serious. Like, it seems a little bit more like possessive kind of, you know, I'm older, I'm going to know a lot more. I got more life experience. Like, there's something about that to me, because I usually don't have the issue with younger wanting to date older. It's the other way around.
Yeah, what's going on?
You were already an adult when her mother was pregnant with her. Like, that's a little.
But I do find that men, and this is this is shown through studies, men like to mentor. And so sometimes they don't look at the age gap in the same way. When they're 40, he's still thinking like he's young. I'm almost 40. I think I know what's happening. I don't know that I'd be hanging out with 19-year-olds, but it makes him feel young and vibrant and alive. And it's like it extends that window for him to continue to be Peter Pan. And, you know, we were talking about that last week. So, yeah, it does concern me a little bit. Like, what is he running from where he's in a relationship with someone that's not likely to be compatible with him for the long term? But if he got mad, I don't know.
I kind of feel like it's tapping into that possessiveness a little bit. Like that, this, and it's all the wording, it's all like the stuff. Because I think there are definite exceptions, you know, to whatever the topics are. But with this particular phrasing and all of that, seems a little bit more possessive. And if she's talking to someone else, he probably still has that fear of like, I don't want to lose her, so I'm going to put you like this. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot in this one particularly for me.
I can't date girls younger than 25.
Right.
Maybe that's just me, but I just don't feel intellectually stimulated. If you're 40, you're dating a 19, are you just a big kid that's looking to play around?
Maybe.
And you're not growing up.
You have some more questions for us too. I want to make sure we help as many people as possible.
All right. So the next question from Texpert. This one is a doozy. Here we go. I'm 15. It's a girl. I'm 15, and my little sister's 13. She's having sex with her 18-year-old boyfriend, and I think she's smoking weed. I tattletaled on her, quote unquote, 2 weeks ago to my mother, and she's still really mad about that. But I'm worried about her. What do I do?
Okay, so this is coming from the 15-year-old, and is the concern, I don't know if the concern is the weed or the having sex. I'm not concerned about the weed, so I'm going to go set that aside.
13-year-old smoking weed, you're not so concerned about that?
I would say, I don't know what the desired outcome is if you go to your mother and tattle, and I would say that the 15-year-old probably has more influence over the 13-year-old than the mom might. If the mom just comes down and is like, don't date your boyfriend, don't have sex with him. As a parent, I know how ineffective that kind of direct sort of discipline can be. But the 15-year-old is probably in a position to be able to speak to the 13-year-old on her level and say, look, like, I mean, I've always been of the mind that if somebody's going to have sex and they've already made up their mind or they're already doing it, they're going to do it. So the next line of defense is to make sure that they're being smart about it and protecting themselves. So I think that's a better play. And just letting the 13-year-old talk about why she's doing it, why she thinks it's appropriate, and just like having a listening conversation to start out. Because going to your mom is just going to create more animosity, this 15-year-old.
You are obviously very articulate. And I think we forget sometimes how inarticulate we were at 15.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point. It's the tattletale is probably not the option. The more the mom gets involved, the more that young girl may want to hold on even tighter to that boyfriend. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's that she goes to her and says, I'm worried about you. I love you, but I'm worried about you. Are you being safe? You probably shouldn't be having sex. You probably shouldn't be smoking weed. You have to make your own decisions, but please be safe. Please cut it out if you can. And just be careful. And then keep a watchful eye. And if it starts to deteriorate, if she starts to kind of fall down a bad path, then maybe you pull it up to mom and dad.
And I find that parents are more observant than kids think that they are. And so the mom might know more than the 15-year-old realizes that she does. No. From the parent side. Okay. Yeah. Well, what else is on the Texpert app this week?
All right, we have another little nugget from Texpert. This one is from the male perspective. This one is a little bit of a twist. It says, I'm 30 years old and have a wife. But lately I've been having gay fantasies. What does that mean?
Oh my gosh, this is on the Texpert app right now?
This is on, well, it's expired, it's gone, but this is one of the nuggets that this got a lot of responses on
Texpert. Oh my God, what did people say? I want to know what other people said.
we can probably
because
pull
you on Texpert, you can go on and read the situation and offer your advice.
Exactly.
You don't even need a PhD for that or a coaching certification from the IDCA.
Who's got that?
Oh, Damona Hoffman.
No.
I look, I've always thought of sexuality as a little bit fluid, and you can have fantasies are one thing. It's what do you act upon? So I think it's possible that he might actually be gay and want to explore that and need to explore that and be honest with his wife about it. But it might just be that that's something that turns him on, but he really loves his wife and is also sexually stimulated by her. So it's hard to tell just from that, but I'm curious what you think. I know guys often have different opinions of straight males often have different opinions.
Well, I do believe the fluidity concept. I think that that Kinsey scale of like, there's a one that's like super gay. There's the seven that's super straight. And people are usually somewhere in that scale. Maybe they have somewhat of the bisexual tendencies.
Right.
But at the end of the day, bro, you're married. And if you're committed to her, if you love her and you're still sexually attracted to her enough to have sex and have relations with her, then I don't care if you want to have sex with girls or guys. Like, go watch some porn, whatever type of porn you feel like stimulates you, and get it out that way.
But
don't
that would
cheat
be,
on your wife with a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter. Oh,
but it would be so tragic if the wife found
that
the gay
really
porn.
Tragic.
And they hadn't had a conversation about
right.
it. So maybe just start with some like threesome porn with your wife.
Really?
Oh my God. That would be like horrifying. That would be horrifying to a wife to find
to go and find yeah
porn on your husband's laptop.
Well, I was more surprised about the concept of
threesome porn.
He's like, hey honey, how about some threesome porn today?
Well, you don't have to say how about some threesome porn. I feel like as women, as straight women, we are subjected to threesome porn all the time and to watching two women make out. Like all
yeah.
porn
yeah.
women oh another woman will come in and suddenly start making it, and I'm like, I mean, like, I'm all for whatever you want. I don't want to watch two women making out. Actually, I don't even really want to watch two other people having sex. I'm not interested in porn whatsoever. It's not a turn on. But I don't know why it's okay in porn that basically all porn, two women will be working, will be making out, will be working out. I'm already got onto my next appointment. We'll be making out. And that's okay. But if it's two guys, that's like specialty porn. I don't know.
Well, I think it goes to the same concept of like, if I found out that my wife, if I had a wife, was watching lesbian porn, I'd be like, okay, what's going on? I'm into it. But, and that's cool.
And but that's if, cool.
If
but
a
it's
wife,
not.
If a wife found her husband's gay porn, it's like, whoa, this is, it changes everything. It does kind of go to that double standard.
It's the secrecy factor that changes yeah. everything.
And it's all part of the whole psyche thing of like who's like the way that women connect and the way that men connect too, I think, as well. Because biologically, women are, you know, kind of like one partner. I can only have one child in a period of a year. And guys are like, ah, you know, Neanderthal people. This is what I'm talking about. But as far as this goes, I think it's all about the communication. Really? Like, I don't think you need to be talking to all the rest of the world. Like, that's something that you should probably be talking to your wife about, and whatever the two of you come up with is how it's going to be.
So yeah. Do yourself a favor and send your wife a log of the types of porn you're watching.
We don't want to get that
nope.
either. That is all the time we have for today. I hope you will enjoy more technically dating with Texpert. And people can go on right now and have this vicarious experience that we're having and give their own advice if they download the Texpert app in the iTunes store, right?
Please check it out. It's only for the iPhone right now, but it's TEXTPERT. Go check it out. Give some advice. Maybe just browse. Maybe ask a question and get some help.
Definitely ask a question. Definitely get some help. Then we'll be giving you more help every Wednesday here on Dates and Mates and on Technically Dating. So we are live on UBN Radio every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And please, please, if you like the show, give us a review on iTunes and now on iHeartRadio. This can make a huge difference in helping people follow the show. And don't forget, the Modern Dating Summit is now open for business. You can sign up for free and hear more from Bobby Palmer, New York Times bestselling authors Greg Barrett and Amira Rutola Barrett, Catherine Woodward Thomas, the host of TLC's Love at First Swipe, Devin Simone, so many more. Go to moderndatingsummit.com and sign up there for free. We will see you again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. I'm Damona Hoffman.
I'm Ray Christian.
And we wish you happy dating.